This is the Rich Eisen Show.
It's bow time.
Bow time.
I like it.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Out of Denver. Bo Nix is the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
How about that?
Earlier on the show, ESPN senior NFL writer Jeremy Fowler, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer, Jets defensive tackle Quinnen Williams. Coming up, co-hosts of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast, Jason Moore and Mike Wright. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show. This is the last day of the calendar year in which there will not be a football season with games that count. Because college football begins tomorrow in Ireland when Florida State and Georgia Tech play one another in Dublin. And then it's on and cracking. And this is it. This is the last day in which we're not going to be talking about a season where games don't count in the standings. I can't believe we made it. It's fantastic. College football begins in earnest next weekend, Labor Day weekend, and then after that is the National Football League joining the party. 2 weeks from today, we will be on the air in Kansas City because we're taking our show on the road there, and we will be in Kansas City talking about what happened in Arrowhead the night before. That's 2 weeks from today.
Man.
Yes, sir.
It's almost there.
Good to see you over there, TJ Jefferson. How are you?
I mean, it's great to be seen.
Mike Del Tufo is doing something else about something other than.
No, I was checking something on
okay, good. You're checking.
It's, I knew that's it was where my email machine is.
I knew it was something.
My email machine?
Yeah, Susie Schuster sitting in Brockman's chair because he's doing some dumbass fantasy draft. Oh. Good to see you over there. How are you?
How are you?
I'm great. By the way, I don't denigrate fantasy drafts in general. I just denigrate his.
Yeah, Brockman's.
Because there's no time limit.
I mean, what are we doing?
There's no time limit. That's you know, we're in a best ball league. Joe Latrullio set it up a couple years ago, invited you and Brockman have a team together, TJ. Have a team. Let's name drop. Rudd's got a team. Yep. John Hamm's got a team. Our friend Max Handelman has a team, Susie. Joe's got a team.
Yeah.
Everyone else you kind of don't know.
Cooper's got four or five.
Huh?
Cooper's got four or five.
Cooper, well, he's not in this league. But the best ball is where you draft players and you don't pick anybody up. That's the team.
When the draft is over,
it's
that's
over.
Your squad.
And it's 8 hours per pick.
Per pick.
Because sometimes people are on the East Coast, West Coast, and sometimes you're on the clock while you're sleeping.
Some people were in London last year, so while they were up, we were asleep. And vice versa.
These things were happening, right?
Yeah. 8 hours.
And today there was a pick. There was a pick that was made by you and Brockman that you definitely had nothing to do with.
Because
this was the 19th and final, the 19th choice of your team out of the 20 that to be chosen.
It was the 18th.
18th.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Congratulations on Drake May.
being on your team. Now let me tell you, this truly actually happened. It was about 6:35 this morning, and I'm looking at our list of who's left, and the pickings are very slim. And I'm looking at Drake May, and I'm staring at him, and I'm like, "Well, I know Chris wants him. I know he wants him." And then literally, it just popped up. You drafted Drake May, and I was like, "Okay."
Oh, it's before you. You had no say in it. Clearly, I knew it.
Well, that one, because he told me before he wanted him. So, but yeah.
Drake. At any rate, that's the league that we're in, and Chris and I have a team together. In the Fantasy Footballers Podcast League. Last year, they haven't invited us back yet. I don't know if we have a space this year.
I mean, you would know by now.
I don't know. We'll ask Jason Moore and Mike Wright, two of the Fantasy Footballers podcasters who are going to be in studio sitting in the chairs to my right.
Technically,
shortly.
Rich, that was we all three were in that together.
Oh, that's right. You were in it last year, too. Yeah. My bad. You're in, buddy. We're all doing it again.
Or we're not.
Well, here's Brockman live at his dumbass fantasy draft. Where there it is, how it started. Brockman on the left and how it's going on the right. He looks great.
I don't think it started yet.
Okay. His no time limit fantasy draft. So the thing I don't understand is that they have it in the town of the defending Super Bowl champs.
Which is kind of cool.
Which is now back-to-back years in Kansas City. I was told he wasn't going to Kansas City for this because he's going to Kansas City with us in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But he still took today off anyway. I don't know where he is.
He went somewhere else to draft, I believe.
Do we know where he is?
I mean,
because he wouldn't volunteer that. He wouldn't volunteer that yesterday.
Look, to quote...
it's okay if he scheduled the day off and then... isn't traveling but didn't say, I'll still do the show anyway, I'm fine with that if he's trying to keep that from me. If he's sitting at home right now, I don't care.
I know where he is.
You do?
Yeah.
Where is he?
Uh-oh.
Why are you saying?
I'm not sure if I'm to disclose that.
Okay.
Should I text him and ask him?
No,
don't worry about it.
You know what? Now I don't care.
Here,
now it's, now it's now now it's so much mystery, I don't care.
You get to have me here.
I mean, I have no complaints.
You should be thrilled.
I am thrilled. Because you're about to do What's More Likely, and he actually did the heavy lifting on that sort of thing.
Always. Right,
we'll get to have What's More Likely in a second. Let's get to one more phone call. Charles in Idaho is first in. Let's get him up here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Charles?
He's up.
Charles, you there? Oh, my God.
Uh-oh.
It's so saddening to me when somebody holds on literally for 2 hours and 5 minutes, and I'm like, all right. Snoozing and losing.
Do we have a number for him? Can we call him back?
You know what? I mean, that's a white glove treatment. I don't know if Charles in Idaho is going to get. To be honest with you. He's dropped. He's gone. Did you hang up on him?
No, Adam picked it up.
Adam, call him back. That's so sad.
Patrick in Baltimore, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, Rich. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for making it. What's on your mind?
I just want to go through the schedule of my beloved G-Men.
Ah, so you're a giant fan sitting there in Balmer. Is that right?
I am. Parents are from New York originally. Dad's from Poughkeepsie. Mom's from Lindenhurst.
Okay, so there you go. So there we go. Thus the lineage of why a man from Baltimore wants to play win-loss game for the Giants. All right, first up, home for the Vikings. What happens?
Start the year with a victory.
Aha. At the Commanders.
Loss.
1-1 at the Browns.
Loss.
Home for the Cowboys on a Thursday night.
Ugly loss.
Ugly.
Somebody else said huge loss there.
1-3 at the Seahawks.
Loss.
Oh, my goodness. 4-game losing streak. Home for the Bengals.
Another ugly loss.
5 in a row. They're 1-5. Home for Saquon strolling in now.
Oh, Saquon scores 4 touchdowns. Giants lose.
1-6 at the Steelers on a Monday night.
Steelers went on a last-second field goal.
Oh, my God. 1-7. 7 straight losses. Home for the Commanders.
They're not going 0-6 in the division. This is a victory.
All right. Look at you rallying the troops. 2-7. Home for it's the Panthers in Munich. I'll be at the mic for that one.
They lose, and then they bench Jones after that.
Oh, my God. 2-8. So now who's starting? Is it Drew Locke against the Buccaneers, you're saying?
Lock and load. Let's go.
Okay, so is that a win? Is that a way of saying win?
It is a win.
All right, look at you. They now have 3 wins at the Cowboys on Thanksgiving.
That's another bad loss.
That's an. Wait, that's 7-8. 3-9 home for the Saints.
That's a win.
4-9 home for the Ravens.
Lamar avenges his only loss to an NFC team. That's
4-10 at the Falcons.
That's another loss.
4-11 home for the Colts.
That's a loss.
4-12 at the Eagles.
Only 2 touchdowns for Saquon this time, but Giants still lose.
4-13. You think the Giants are going, Patrick, huh?
Yeah, their secondary is really bad, and I think Jones stinks.
Thank you very much, Patrick in Baltimore. They go 4-13. That might be first overall pick territory, wouldn't you think?
That's what it's looking
and then
like.
They'd be looking at a new quarterback.
I feel like
maybe
that was
a new regime.
I'm pretty sure that was Patrick's MO the entire time he was doing this game, was thinking he was going to get a new quarterback.
Could you imagine? This is craziness about fandom, right? You hold on for 2 hours to play a win-loss game and have your team go 4-13. So you think he feels better hanging up?
He should.
Okay. All right, Susie, ready?
Yeah.
Let's do it. What's more likely? Susie Suser and me. Here we go.
What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
All right, Suze, what do you have?
Hey, guys, how are you?
What's up,
hey.
What's up, Suze?
Hey, guys, what's up?
Suze, I'm doing great.
Continuing the tradition, unlike any other.
All right, guys, Colts playing the Bengals last night. The quarterback to finish in the top 5 in MVP this season, is it Anthony Richardson or Joe Burrow?
Is he really asking that question?
I mean, apparently.
What's more likely, Rich?
To finish top 5 in MVP voting? Come on. It's Joey B.
Hey, Joe.
I mean, come on. Let's take the guy who's gotten 4 career starts or 3 career starts or whatever the hell many career starts he had last year.
Maybe he sniffs something.
No, I know. He's thinking about like Richardson. Listen, I think Richardson's going to have a very nice season, but top five in MVP voting, like we'll be seeing his name mentioned in advance of the NFL honors.
Rich, it's Brockman. He just likes to twist it in there.
Come okay. On, no, like, thank you. No, thank you. I'll go Joe Burrow. What's next? What else you got over there?
A team that missed the 2023 playoffs to win their division in 2024. The Jaguars or the Falcons, Rich?
Oh, I'll go the Falcons right now. I'll absolutely go the Falcons. I mean, I got to give it up. I know the drafting of Penix is still a head scratcher because you mess with the head of the guy you just gave a 4-year, damn near $200 million contract to.
Who's envisioning
ending his career in Atlanta. He's turning 36. He probably feels great about himself. But not probably. It's what he said on Tuesday. He's probably envisioning playing into his 40s. And so you draft a kid who you know is already up against the clock because he's 24 years old. I mean, listen, I don't want to relitigate everything. There's many reasons why that's a head scratcher. One of them was you've got the 8th overall pick. Take the top defensive player on the draft board. You had the number one overall pick for a defensive player, and they went down the road to get a quarterback. But they then signed Matthew Judon, who is way better than anybody they could have taken.
True that.
Certainly for right now to win with Kirk Cousins, right now, you get Judon. It would have been Dallas Turner or Latu, who looked very nice for the Colts over the last couple of preseason games. And then they get Justin Simmons on top of it. I'm all in on the Falcons there to win their division.
I gotta agree with you.
As opposed to the Jaguars, who are in a tough spot with the Texans sitting at the top.
Plus, I think this is Kyle Pitts here. It has to be, right.
Oh, Kirk Cousins. No, it does
it
not.
Does
have to be.
It but has to be. Everyone was so high on this guy when he was coming out of the college, and now.
I mean, how does this work? The have to be stuff. Cowboys have to go because they haven't gone to the NFC Championship game for the last 27 years, right?
That's a lot different than one player.
No. Rodgers has got to play more than 5 snaps because of what happened to him last year, right? He's got to. All right, let's not go there, right? What else?
Kyle Pitts season.
I mean, I can't even think about watching that opening drive with you.
It'll be fine. I'll be on the air on Westwood One, and thus stone cold sober. I'll be fine. Otherwise, I'd be heavily medicated.
All right, Rich. What's more likely, the Niners make the Super Bowl or the Raiders make the playoffs?
Oh, I'll go Raiders make the playoffs. That defense, man.
Yeah.
Max Crosby, the Condor, along with Christian Wilkins, is going to be stout. All we got to do is, can we get 17 to football, please?
His name is Devontae Adams. Listen, he's very good at football.
To say one team can perform well enough to be the 7th seed in the playoffs is just less likely than a team to repeat a Super Bowl appearance makes no sense. It's more likely that somebody could make the 7th seed after not making the playoffs the previous year, even with a quarterback that you have questions about, than winning your conference again. That is a tall order, despite how good the 49ers are. I'll go Raiders make the playoffs. Would be more likely. Of course, both can happen.
True that.
Suze?
All right, regarding the Bills playing the Panthers, what rookie wide receiver, who will have more yards and touchdowns, Keon Coleman or Xavier Leggett?
Two of my new favorites.
Well, I got Leggett in the best ball.
We got Keon.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Rich, I just want both of these guys mic'd up every week.
Right?
I love it. They're both hilarious. They're both funny.
Do the Bills play the Panthers this year? That would be fun to have them on the same field. I don't think they do. They do not.
They don't.
I'll go Keon Coleman. He's got the better quarterback, with all due respect. I should have said that before I slagged on Bryce Young, but I'm sorry. I'll go Keon Coleman. He's got Josh Allen throwing to him.
Plus a whole new.
Let's see what's up.
Whole new group of pass catchers there.
Remember Leggett said that the Panthers told me that they're going to draft me?
Yeah.
And then the Panthers traded out of that last draft choice on opening night to let the Chiefs come in, right?
So they got him, first pick in the second?
Isn't that what happened? Right? Yeah, they got him the top. I know they got him the top pick in the second round.
And then he had that quote. And then he said, they said, we're going to pick you up at 8. He goes, I'm going to be all ready.
I love it. Fantastic.
I love both of these guys, man. I'm excited to watch both of those receivers do the thing this year.
Okay, what else you got? You got one more, Suze?
I got three more.
Oh, wow. Okay, let's get to it then.
With the Dolphins playing the Bucs, Tyreek Hill to beat Noah Lyles in a race, or Mike Evans to be the first ballot Hall of Famer?
Oh, I'll go Tyreek Hill beats Noah Lyles in a race. Being a first ballot Hall of Fame wide receiver is a tall order.
Yeah. It's a
you can go down the list of Hall of Fame wide receivers who are not first ballot, and you'd be like, are you kidding me? Yep. You've got to be like Jerry Rice, Randy Moss type level to do that.
And sometimes that doesn't even work. Terrell Owens didn't get in on the first.
Well, I think that's just there were personality issues when you got it.
But that shouldn't count.
There's still popularity.
It shouldn't matter, though.
I understand it.
But Mike Evans, I think we all agree, he's definitely going.
He'll get a bust. Yeah. I mean, whether you're first ballot.
It's tough, yeah.
Tyreek Hill beating Noah Lyles in a race? Let's see it. Let's go.
Because Noah Lyles already came out and said that.
He would do it?
He doesn't want to do a gimmick. So that means he won't do like a 60. He goes, if you're going to challenge the fastest 100? Man.
100 meter?
It's got to be the 100, yeah. So he goes, let's, get some sponsors. Let's
go.
Maybe Roku Joe will be down to sponsor that.
Suze.
The team to have the best wide receiver trio in the National Football League. The Eagles, the Seahawks, the Dolphins, or the Texans. What's more likely?
Eagles getting Jahan Dotson the other day was really fascinating. That happened yesterday while I was out of the chair.
Yeah.
To see an intra-division trade
very
like
rare.
That. The Seahawks with DK and
Lockett
and Jackson Smith and Jigba. The Dolphins got Odell in this mix now. And the Texans added Stephon Diggs to Dell and
Collins.
Whew. I'm going to go. Oh, my gosh. I'll go. I mean, is Odell going to be healthy all year?
Right.
This is a great question. The best trio in the NFL. I'll go Dolphins.
Braxton Berrios put him over the top for you, didn't he?
I don't know. I just think that they've got the most explosive offense.
I don't know. I like the Texans.
That's a great question.
Collins and Diggs, along with Dalton Schultz, even though he's not a.
The Dolphins are so fast. They're so good.
Yeah, you can't teach.
And there
speed,
might be a third one other than Odell that we're not even referring to. Suze?
Last one up. You're going to like this one.
Okay. Thank you.
What's more likely, Aaron Judge hits 70, Otani goes 50-50, or Ellie De La Cruz goes 25-75?
I love it.
With the baseball gods, like all of these things happen.
Judge is so on fire. He's so on fire right now, and he's on pace for 61. So I'll take him out of the 70 home run mix.
Yeah, that's an insane amount.
Shohei, I believe, as of right now, is a homer and a stolen base shy of 40-40. So, Ellie De La Cruz, I don't know where he is on the 25-75. I'll go Otani.
Ellie's got 60 steals.
I'll go Otani.
22 bombs. So, he's...
So, 11 homers and 11 stolen bases between now and the end of the season?
Taking Aaron Judge for granted?
I'm not.
I just don't feel like I'm hearing enough. Last three games, three home runs.
He's unbelievable. Well, you certainly hear enough about him in our household.
We do.
Okay. But I'm nervous that he's turning into our son's version of Don Mattingly, which is one of your all-time favorite players, and he doesn't
win a
World Series. Honestly.
Wow.
I'm getting nervous about it. But then again, that's what being a fan is, to be nervous. But I'll take Otani. I'll take Otani, man.
I can
have
see
a hot September and
Ellie
go 50-50.
Doing it as well. He's three home runs away and 15 stolen bases.
15 stolen bases is a lot.
It is, but it's Ellie. Like, it seems like every
Skeens
time.
Skeens picked him off last night.
It's Skeens, Skeens Day.
All right, let's take a break. The fantasy footballers are here. Jason Moore and Mike Wright. Let's get you set for your fantasy draft while Hasbro moves in. Hey, everybody, we're living in a new age of football with the expanded college football playoff, NIL, conference realignment, and increasing popularity of the draft. The landscape is changing, and it's changing quickly, and it can be confusing, but you're still into it. That's where the new podcast, The Triple Option, comes in. Each week, Heisman Trophy winner Mark Ingram, host Rob Stone, and three-time national champion coach Urban Meyer team up to bring on the biggest guests in college football, pro football, and anything related to the culture of the game. They cover it all, from top stories to recent changes and shifts in the game, the culture surrounding it, and everything in between. So get in the game today. Follow and subscribe to The Triple Option on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Watch The Triple Option on YouTube as well. New episodes drop Wednesday mornings. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. And let me tell you about Greenlight, folks. My wife and I use it for our oldest kid. Time is moving fast. Used to be, you didn't have to worry about what your kids were doing with money. But Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and money habits while kids also learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. Anytime my oldest son uses his Greenlight card, I get an alert. How much he's spending, where he's spending it, and he also knows the limit that he has, so he learns how to save, invest, and spend wisely. I use it, my wife uses it, my kids use it, you should too. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/rich. That's greenlight.com/rich to try Greenlight for free. greenlight.com/rich. Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show on the Roku channel, and welcome back to two-thirds of the Fantasy Footballers, one of the most popular podcasts out there, certainly on the subject matter of fantasy football. Good to see you, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright, good to see you.
Nice to be here, man. Yeah. It's good to be back.
So we're at the hat trick now.
That's right.
Yeah, we are. Did Andy Holloway draw the short straw again, or what happened here? Because we only have two chairs. I always say that it's unfortunate. The only time, since you're aware, that we've ever added more chairs to our set is when we had the four Green Bay Packers who were in Pitch Perfect 2.
Mm. So we're not at that level.
Clay Matthews. That was the only ones we added. They were offensive linemen, so we had two chairs behind them.
That's we got to get to five before we can get Andy on. Five performances. But we just kind of established dominance. Mm-hmm. You know, we're like...
Understood.
We just let Andy know this is our show. So I mean, it's your show.
No, I appreciate that. Like, speaking of dominance, sort of like us in your fantasy league in the regular season last year.
As he qualifies it.
Did you win?
We did not. I did not win.
We didn't win either, so we're all losers.
You coming back? Open invitation, of course.
Of course we're back.
Run it back.
Yes.
Yeah, of course we're back. We'll run it back. We'll do it. When is the draft?
TBD. Soon. Before kickoff.
That's about it.
That's a promise. No,
we're mostly available. We're going to be in Kansas City starting the Wednesday before the season. Yeah, so we're doing shows.
Yeah, I've heard you're a master of the slow draft now. So
oh gosh, I cannot stand slow drafts. Literally cannot stand them. I have no patience for a draft that takes over an hour at all. I'm sorry to say. All right, so we got two-thirds of the fantasy footballers here. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. The Fantasy Footballers 10th Anniversary Megala Show will be held right here in Los Angeles at the Palace Theater on Saturday night, August 24th, if you are in the area. Get tickets available at ballerslive.com. Visit thefantasyfootballers.com for more information on how you can get their fantastic podcast on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. Jason Moore and Mike Wright of the Fantasy Footballers are here on the program. Good to see you, gentlemen. How are you? Getting ready?
Yes. Yeah, we're ready for football.
Okay.
This is the time where stuff's going crazy for us. And, I mean, we always say everyone's undefeated right now. So
yes.
The buzz in the air is you can feel it.
Okay. So our questions are always the same, but I need to throw out there. Most people, do you find play PPR leagues, or they do not play PPR leagues?
The majority are in some form of PPR. I think the standard, even though it's called standard, is kind of dying. All the leagues that we try to play in and do are half PPR.
Okay.
I feel like it doesn't overvalue the whole like screen for 0 yards
right
thing, but you still get value for the passing in the NFL. This, you know, is a passing league now.
Okay, so that should inform everybody about the questions that I'm about to ask. First overall pick is uniformly Christian McCaffrey.
No doubt
in your mind.
He laps the field. It's one of those, whenever you've got anyone within a position that gaps second place, and predictably so, I mean, if he's on the field, he's going to be the number one.
Okay, so McCaffrey is the number one guy.
Yeah.
My son, our son, Cooper Eisen, has a second overall position on Sunday. And for all the second overall position players out there, you would choose who?
So, I mean, it's we always recommend kind of know where you're going with your draft.
Like, what does that mean?
As in, like, players in the middle rounds, which positions do you feel stronger about? Like, there's a group of wide receivers that I like in this area, so I know that I will get some of them. Well, then maybe I'm going to start with Breece or Bijan at the number two, or maybe there's running backs that I like later.
For 13-year-olds who might not have that mentality of looking down the road,
you just want the
mapping
name
out sixth-round draft strategy.
Dude, this is what you got to do. You got to get into the weeds.
I'm going Tyreek there.
Okay.
It's between him and CeeDee, but you know, one of them is playing football right now, and that's a big tiebreaker for me. I like when my guys
compared to not playing,
yeah. not practicing, not being on the field.
But I think that seals it for Cooper, Suze, that because he's thinking Tyreek. Mm-hmm. That's what he's been talking to us about for two reasons. One, he had Bijan last year, and he's got
the burns.
Well, I get what he's got, BTSD. He's got Bijan.
But Arthur's gone now.
I understand that, but he just. You know how it works.
Yeah. Like, yes.
Would you? How often do you choose a player first overall in your draft, not just number one overall, but use a first round pick on in consecutive drafts after they have sorely disappointed you?
0%. 0%. You just can't. You can't do that.
Right.
We're humans.
The Christian McCaffrey years after the two back to back years of season ending injury, and we had to be on the mics like. I would still you had to talk quietly of like I would still take Christian McCaffrey number one, and everyone's no, he's a bum, he's always hurt, like, but he's a really good player.
Yes.
And then guess who's an Iron Man now? Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah. And so the other choice that he wouldn't make, second overall, that you mentioned, Mike, and again, I don't know if it's his mother's influence or he's for being a Patriot fan, he just won't trust a Jet.
It's not a bad way to go.
He just won't. But I said to him, and this has nothing to do with my upbringing or any way, shape, or form. Breece Hall had 1,000 yards rushing last year in the dumpsterest of dumpsters, the fieriest of dumpsters. Mm-hmm. But I think Tyreek would be the way to go, right? Certainly, if you're in a PPR league, you got to do something.
Yeah,
like that.
I think so. And the next pick that's going to come back around to him, there's still some really good running backs there. Devon Achane is there. Isaiah Pacheco is there.
You'd use the 19th overall pick in a draft on Devon Achane.
I would, but probably not if I went Tyreek first. The two Dolphins, you know, they're both not going to score on the same play, but that is a player I'm targeting there personally. I like Devon Achane. He is risky. He's smaller. He's undersized, could get injured, but he's also one of those rare guys that if he gets the volume, he could break fantasy. He could be one of those guys that's like, oh man, You just ask yourself every time when you're playing a matchup and you look at the other team's players and you go, oh, no. You know, that guy that you just don't want to play against. And to me, I think Devon Achane will develop into that type of player where you're like, he could put up 40 points this week.
Mike, give me a name of a player similar to that second, third round running back, wide receiver that some folks might say you're overdrafting, but you believe in, and that's a good spot. Certainly since... You know, in a snake, you might not have another shot at. You might overdraft in that spot because you're not going to be picking again till like, what, 30, 40?
Right. Yeah, like for me, that guy is Nico Collins of the Houston Texans. I think we all universally agree and love the Houston Texans, as you can see from where their wide receivers are all being drafted. And Stroud is, last I saw, was the fifth quarterback going in ADP, which is like, that's a real big jump for a player who hasn't completely shown it, you know, especially compared to like Jordan Love, who was better than Stroud last year for fantasy. And yet Jordan Love is left as the QB 10 or so. But for me, Nico was one of those players that when we're watching them play in his first couple years where there's nothing going on. You see the tiny glimpses of it and you hold out the hope. We always compare it to when Robert Woods was on the Buffalo Bills and nothing was happening for him. And you're like, there's something there. There's magic with this player. He just needs to get into the right situation. Robert Woods goes to the Rams, becomes a fantasy superstar for a few years. I have the belief that Nico will remain the number one. I mean, they gave him that big bag of money. They didn't have to. It was smart, in my opinion, because now they don't have to play this game that all the other superstar wide receivers are playing right now. They said, Nico, here's enough money. You take that. You come be our number one. We have huge concerns that does Stephon Diggs still have it of when the offense changed for Buffalo halfway through the year? He vanished. That was a vanishing in fantasy football that I can't remember, where an elite player is halfway through the year, doesn't get hurt, just stops producing, and it gets phased out of the offense. And we do like Tank Dell quite a bit on our show, but for me, Nico, I think, is locked in as the number one guy.
Who other than A-Chan is that guy for you then?
I would say Isaiah Pacheco is, he's locked into a three-down role. Jerick McKinnon's not coming back. He's playing for a team in the Chiefs that I think are being undervalued. It's hard to think that the Chiefs, the back-to-back Super Bowl winners, are undervalued, but they are. You look at how many points the Chiefs offense has scored year after year after year.
It's not last year, which is maybe the reason why people would be undervalued.
Exactly. And L'Jarius Sneed not being part of the defense, I think, is going to really help the offense. Just need to push it a little bit more. And the way that Andy Reid has talked about Pacheco in the passing game, he was asked, like, who's going to step up for Jerick McKinnon? He's like, Pacheco's got every route. He's got the pass protections. He's got great hands. So if he can be a three-down back for Mahomes, you know, you go back to, like, when you had a top-five season for Kareem Hunt, I think that's in the cards for Pacheco.
Jason Moore, Mike Wright are the fantasy footballers who are here. Andy Holloway, part of the trio that will be out there in the 10th anniversary Megala show here in Los Angeles tomorrow night. Again, ballerslive.com for tickets if you're in the area. That scene from Braveheart where the horses are coming and they put up the sticks and he screams, hold, hold. That's the way I draft a quarterback every single time.
Good for you.
I hear that in the back of my head, but I just want a storm to get to the middle of the battlefield every single time. Why hold on a quarterback? Why? Why hold?
The reason to hold and wait on a quarterback is to get other more valuable positions. Obviously, in the NFL, quarterback is the most important position.
Yeah, and then, you know, Anthony Richardson pops a 40-point game on you and you lose. You know what I mean? Like, and then Mahomes pops one or Stroud pops one. I mean, like, and invariably, the quarterback will outpoint your best guy that you keep trying to amass in the first 3, 4, 5 rounds of a draft.
It's true, yes, but only one person's going to win the championship. So if you go with the early quarterback, your team's going to be good. But if you find the late quarterback who hits, when Lamar Jackson was drafted late and then he has his MVP season, if you find that guy late who hits, you become the one. You become the one putting the medal around your neck and buying big trophies and making fun of your friends. So, you know, this year I think Kyler is super undervalued.
Kyler is why you wait.
Jaden Daniels as a rookie who is mobile. You know, it's like he has more experience than Anthony Richardson does playing football. Despite the fact that it's year two for Anthony Richardson, and he's a 10th rounder. He's being drafted where Anthony Richardson was being drafted last year.
So you're saying to me, I should keep on amassing running backs, wide receivers, and a tight end, and hold off, and then start Jaden Daniels and put my entire fantasy football strategy into the hands of a rookie quarterback?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yep.
It's supply-demand. I mean, everyone... no matter how your league works, you're playing two running backs, you're playing two wide receivers. Sometimes you're playing more of those guys. Right, sure. And then as long as we're not talking super flex, that's a completely different strategy. Most casual leagues out there, it's one quarterback. I play one, I play two, three wide receivers. So I need to stockpile those guys. I have to have depth there. And then on top of that, we know 40-plus quarterbacks. Every year it'll be, you know, probably around 43 quarterbacks will put up at least one top 12 performance on a week, because it's quarterback is somehow still the easiest position to predict. I can see that this player is at home. this quarterback is at home. He's against a bad secondary.
Yeah.
And he's gonna throw for 200-something yards and a chance at 2 touchdowns. And I can just grab that off the waiver wire and not spend my expensive picks. And that's only in the event that Kyler Murray doesn't work out, that Jared Goff, who has the first 4 games of Jared Goff's schedule are
juicy.
They are so delicious for fantasy football. And Matthew Stafford's first 2 games are great for fantasy football.
All right, so let me just jump in here then. So you're saying strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Go for running backs, wide receivers, grab your tight end for the first, say, 8 rounds of a draft. And you're watching the rest of your friends and competitors snag Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes and Jalen Hurts and Lamar Jackson. And you're holding, sitting there, right? So let's go to the quarterback list of players who you should then hold for and say you're going to win a fantasy draft by hitting this quarterback in the 9th, 10th round. You've already mentioned Jaden Daniels, and you've mentioned
Kyler,
mm-hmm. and you've mentioned also Jared Goff as those guys.
Yeah.
Would you put Caleb Williams in that mix too?
No, I definitely wouldn't. I know I'm behind ADP on him. He's in the best situation we've ever seen a rookie quarterback come into. I can't ever remember
it. Did you see that throw to Roma Dunze in there?
It was awesome in the preseason.
And then he ran it in. Putting himself in the red zone personally with that throw.
Yes, okay. He is going to be awesome. Will he throw a lot of touchdowns in his rookie year? Historically, no. And he might be the best prospect we've ever seen, and he might be in the best position, but you've got the greats. You've got Peyton Manning coming out and throwing a bunch of interceptions and not a lot of touchdowns.
You're telling me Jaden Daniels, yes. Caleb Williams, no.
That's just because fantasy is broken with rushing. So when you're a mobile quarterback and you could put up 500, 600, 700 yards rushing,
yeah,
you get a point for every 10 yards. If you throw the ball, you get a point for every 25 yards. So it's really, it pushes those mobile quarterbacks up. I've been against this for as long as we've done this podcast. I hate the scoring, but I'm going to take advantage of it. I'm just trying to win.
All right, so let's keep going then. Aaron Rodgers, do you hold off and put him in there in the 9th round?
No, I don't think so. Not with that defense. The defense is so good.
So that means he's gonna be getting nice short fields. And there's Garrett Wilson. There's Mike Williams.
Mike Williams?
Okay. what about Tua? Do you put him? You put him in?
Tua's interesting. He has come out just red hot to start the last 2 years, and then I don't know if it's a temperature thing, if it's a defenses start figuring some things out, but he, over the second half, has faded. But I don't mind going into my season with him as my plan.
That's what I'm saying. Again, these are the guys who might be available. 8th, 9th that you're holding. Deshaun Watson.
The injury scares me. He's still dealing with, you know, arm soreness at this point. We're 2 weeks away from football, so I'm not as in on Deshaun Watson there. He's kind of the boom bust. Maybe you catch gold, but maybe you're holding a stick of dynamite that, you know, that you don't get to throw.
Kirk Cousins.
Oh, man. I mean, for him and Rodgers, too, we're talking about this on the show, the parallels of the Falcons and the Jets, it's absurd of two old quarterbacks on essentially new teams, because I'm not going to count last year for Rodgers. Both of them have Achilles tears. Both of them have the superstar running backs. Both of them have superstar wide receivers who have not
proven it.
Have not come to fruition of what we expect them to become. So it's those two teams. It's going to be really, really fun to see how it shakes out. Who can get it going?
So that's a no. Don't do it. If you're holding, you better not be left holding that bag at the end of the 8th or 9th round. If that's the quarterback you get, here's the money one.
Okay,
Dak.
Yeah, so Dak and Tua, those are great names to bring up. When I'm getting a player like that's good, they can put up massive points, I'm only going to look for those guys, and I'm going to specifically look for those guys if I was the guy who drafted Tyreek Hill or CeeDee Lamb in the first round. Pairing your quarterback with your wide receiver called stacking, it's just massive correlation, right? If your quarterback has a great day, it's probably because your wide receiver has a great day. It puts you over point thresholds to win more games. It's a real provable strategy that's helpful. So when I end up leaving the first round with one of those guys later in the draft, I'm looking for Tua because I want to pair him with my Tyreek, or I'm looking for Dak if I want to pair him with CeeDee. If I didn't grab those guys, then I'm looking specifically for the mobile rushing quarterback like Kyler or Jaden.
Okay. Purdy, last one.
He is difficult, man.
He's undervalued for sure.
Yeah, he's.
So that's why I think he'll be available in your draft ninth round.
Yeah, he'll be available late. It's, I mean, we have what, essentially a year and a half of him, and his touchdowns thrown per attempt. So his touchdown percentage, it's outrageously high. Which there's outlier guys out there. Like Aaron Rodgers is, he's not a yardage guy. Like but touchdown percentage, he's always been incredible. Russell Wilson, when he was not this version of Russell Wilson, he was giving those seasons as well. It's hard to buy in to that because it takes a true outlier to hit those numbers, but he may just be that guy, or the Shanahan system may
so don't
be that
take
good.
Him in the eighth or ninth round.
Well, don't take him in the eighth or ninth because you can take him in the double digit rounds.
Damn.
Yeah, and if you could let us know about Ayuk and that contract,
that'd be nice too.
I would love to have that knowledge.
We are all waiting. Let's just take this phone call real quick. Alex in Tampa, Florida, pop him up. Let's make one of our fans smarter. What's up, Alex?
Yeah, it's on.
Oh my God, Alex, you there?
Yeah, hey, how you doing, Rich?
Yeah, what's up? You're on with the Fantasy Footballers. Ask them your question. Go for it.
Hey, man, long-time listener, first-time caller. It's good to be here.
Oh, good.
First off, I want to give a big shout-out to my dad, Pops. Means the world to me. Big ups, Pops. Second off,
what's
Rich,
up, Pops?
I'm in a dynasty league here, and I just wanted to run my keepers by you and get some honest thoughts. Is that all right?
Yeah, we got time for a couple, Alex. What do you got?
Sounds good, Rich. My keepers right now are Lamar Jackson, DeAndre Swift, Cooper Kupp, A.J. Brown, Kincaid, and A-Chain.
How many can you keep?
I can keep all the ones I listed. Now, what I'm leaving on the table is Mostert and possibly Jaden Reed, which has some buzz.
What, gents?
Yeah, it sounds like he named the right guys.
That's right.
Is this a question, or is this just dunking on people?
I think this is flexing.
You think this is flexing.
But you've been on hold a long time to flex for a big audience.
Was with those guys, Mostert or Jaden Reed? That's what I think I heard.
Yes, that's pretty much.
Yeah, and if there's a dynasty league where you keep that many players, it's going to be Jaden Reed.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Alex. I appreciate it, brother. Thanks for the time, buddy. There you go. Good team. I'm about to win my league. Can I call on the Rich Eisen show and talk to the fantasy footballers? All right. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate that. Let us know when the draft is. We're looking forward to being involved in that again. BallersLive.com to see these two gents along with Andy Holloway tomorrow night right here in Los Angeles at the Palace Theater for the 10th anniversary Megala show. UltimateDraftKit.com to draft, to crush your draft. A portion of the sales there, of course, goes to St. Jude's. Thanks for doing that, gents. You're great to do that. FantasyFootballers.com for more information. At the FF Ballers on the dreaded X, at Jason FFL on X, and Mike FF Hitman.
Yes, sir.
Well. Is that what happened to your pants?
Yeah, well, sometimes you got to get a little crazy.
Okay, there you go. Showing some knee. Thanks for the ladies appreciate that.
I got
Mike.
A good knee.
Okay, very good. Well, I don't want to see about the right one. Thanks again. Appreciate that. Jason Moore, Mike Wright, thanks for coming here.
Thanks for having
us. Terrific. We'll be wrapping up this Rich Eisen show and taking you to the weekend in a moment. Are you struggling to close deals? Business-to-business selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals such as job changes or which accounts you should prioritize, and shows you hidden allies so you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/direct. That is linkedin.com/direct for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/direct and get started. The Rich Eisen Show is sponsored by Grainger. Does this sound familiar? You're a maintenance specialist, and you've been squaring off with a leaky radiator at your facility for hours. You're both drenched in sweat. You've thrown the whole playbook at it, but so far it's got an answer for everything. What you need is a teammate, a pro who's seen it all before, and that's Grainger. With support specialists always ready to chat, the product you need plus a million more, just give this ringer a ring. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by one of their local branches.
There's about a 0% chance that I come back and play.
Zero. You're toast. You're finished.
Done.
As a player.
That's it.
Did last year at any point with you going through your first season not playing basketball?
Never.
Not once did you think about it?
Never. Here's the thing is, for us athletes, it's really hard to transition from that, right? And I was really personal about it when I wrote Dear Basketball. But that is the true challenge of finding what comes next and finding something that you love to do every bit as much as you love your first passion. That is a challenge for us. And I think, unfortunately for us athletes, we've been pigeonholed into thinking that we can only be one thing. And so when I retire, everybody is saying, okay, he's too competitive. He's not gonna know what to do with himself. He's gonna have to come back. I took that as a personal challenge of them thinking I'm this one-dimensional person, that all I know is how to dribble a ball, shoot the ball, and play basketball and compete at that level. And so I took that as a personal challenge. I will never come back to the game, ever. I'm here to show people that we can do much more than that. And creating this business, winning an Oscar, winning the Emmy and the Annie, those are things that are showing other athletes that come after. No, no, there's more to this thing.
Something old was an EGOT? You want the Emmy, the Grammy, the Oscar,
no,
the
know,
Tony?
The challenge became, how do I take the lessons that I learned through the game of basketball and translate them into building the studio? Right? What are the things that I can take from that? The discipline, the commitment, the team and community. How do you get the best out of each other? How do I take those lessons and move those here? That is the challenge. How do we do great work, uncompromising great work? You're not looking at the bottom line. You're focused on the product first, right? Is this the best thing that we can possibly make, no matter what? And having that sharp focus is something that I got from the game of basketball.
Happy heavenly 46th birthday to Kobe Bryant. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, for the Roku-only audience, we just showed a clip that on tomorrow, on Saturday, will be a six-year anniversary of our interview with Kobe Bryant when I went down to his offices and about an hour south of here and interviewed him. And today would have been his 46th birthday, Suze.
Yep, and tomorrow is Kobe Bryant Day here in Los Angeles. In 2016, Eric Garcetti, the then mayor, had dedicated the day to Kobe, obviously, in honor of his number.
824.
Yep. And the two numbers that he wore as a Laker. And earlier this month, there was a beautiful statue unveiled outside of Crypto. I will always refer to it as Staples.
So, right,
of him
here.
And Gianna. Of him and Gianna. And it is a beautiful, beautiful statue commemorating the gorgeous relationship the two of them had. I would really encourage anybody who comes to visit Los Angeles, and those of us who live here, maybe who haven't seen it, it's quite spectacular. And in honor of him, I know that the Mamba and Mamacita Foundation is putting forth a new purple sweatshirt to raise money, as Kobe always did, to raise money. And we can only imagine what kind of girl dad he would be today.
Well, I think about what a voice he would have with the massive explosion and ascension of women's basketball. And what he would say about, you know, Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and what's going on with the, you know, the WNBA as a whole and what's going on in women's college basketball and how sort of on the cutting edge he was. You know, coaching his daughter's team and coaching girls and coaching women's basketball. I would love to obviously know what he would think about LeBron's career end here in Los Angeles and how that's set up and what he would think about, you know, the Ant-Man, right? Like, I would love to hear what he would have to say about anything in today's world of basketball. You
know? I love to think that he somehow whispered in the ears of all these WNBAers and the Caitlin Clarks. And somehow he sowed the seeds of this because he really foresaw it. I mean, we talked about it at length with him. He foresaw it. The last time I saw him at Staples Center, he was with his daughter. I walked across the court to say hi. And we just talked about him changing and him watching his daughter playing and how excited he was and how, you know, they would commute, obviously, to get her where she needed to be.
He definitely would have been at that Sparks Fever game that we brought Taylor to.
No doubt.
Earlier this year. You were at too, yeah. Mikey.
100% he would have been.
He would have 100%.
He would have been, yeah.
Yeah, you were the you'd have been the only one close to him anyway because of the seats that you had. I mean, so he would have had it. But anyway,
he definitely was so big in helping promote. You know that now famous orange sweatshirt, orange T-shirt that the WNBA. It was like he was the first one to really wear that, and then that thing sold out. And I swear it seemed like minutes, you know, had a really tight, close relationship with Sabrina Ionescu. Mm-hmm. You know, you could see her right after they won the gold medal. She went right over to Vanessa and the girls, you know, because of that bond that they had. So, yeah, it would be interesting to see his thoughts. But I know one thing, like, he'd probably be about the dogs. So he'd probably love the fact that these women are out there just scrapping and grinding and being red asses, as you like to say.
Towards Caitlin Clark?
Or, and her giving it right
back.
No,
and her right back. I think he would be so into it.
You know, because that's competition, you know, and you could, everything you know, he thrived on competition. He was a hardo a little bit out there. Just yesterday I was watching a video of him and Jeremy Lin at practice. I mean, this had to have been 12, 13 years ago. I was sitting there feeling bad for Jeremy Lin. Like, Kobe was just dogging this man at practice. So, you know, I think he would have appreciated the fact that...
No Lin sanity for him?
Yeah, but that they're not playing soft. These women are out there grinding and playing hard. He probably would have enjoyed that. And, you know, the sad thing with Gigi is I think we all kind of thought she was going to be it. She was going to be next, you know? And that's what's really... All the kids that were lost that day, man. But like we got to watch her, and you got to see her dad teaching her stuff, and you just went, "Yep, okay."
Yeah, I think ESPN did a piece on the surviving members of that team, and I think that won in a Sports Emmy this year.
Yeah, well, I sent that to Susie a couple weeks ago, and I was like, hey, "Get your tissues ready because it's not an easy watch."
Wow,
it's not an easy watch.
All right, well. Thanks for taking in today's program. Greatly appreciate it. Want to thank all of our guests. You, Suze, love you. See you later.
Thanks,
and I want to thank... stop it. And I want to thank the hard-working people moving Hasbro in behind me. I mean, it's just been great watching brick by brick being removed or put back together. The hard machinery that's out there that Del Tufo swears he could operate.
Again,
it's been great.
Maybe bring us a box of toys as a welcome to the neighborhood.
Awesome. Great show, everybody. Back to wrap it on the Roku Sports Channel in a sec.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Tucker Carlson, what is it that you think that people gravitate towards?
I'm not self-aware. I refuse to be self-aware. I don't even look in mirrors at all, which you can probably tell from my appearance. I don't have a crazy high IQ, or I really don't have that many skills. I would say my main skill is I believe my instincts. I don't hesitate to follow my instincts, ever. The extent that I have gotten in trouble.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.